It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Win. A win that I think for some is unsatisfying. We ended the show last week discussing how we thought this game would go, I think. And Sean said they wouldn't cover, I believe. I don't want to misappropriate a quote to him, but I think he said that. They would not cover.
I definitely picked against them in the Glenn George picks thing.
I think we talked about it, too. I said they would cover. I think you said they would win but not cover. And
Yeah, I did. I said that they would win by a field goal.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
Boom. So, Texans football, baby.
Yes, we play down to the competition, except maybe we should stop saying that, because if you keep doing that, maybe that's just who you are. Maybe that's just who you are. The thought is they're good enough to be a real contender, but if you continue to look like they have against non-contenders, maybe they should fit in that tier two, where you question whether some of our thoughts about them going into the year were wrong. And it stems back to something that has been a problem and a consistent one all year. Their offensive line. So they win, and we'll get into the offensive line problems. They win this game. They beat the Colts. They now lead this division by two, and they have the tiebreaker after beating the Colts twice. So that's the good news. And you know how a football player or a coach will approach it. Hey, every week's tough. It's week in, week out, the NFL's tough. And to win, it's a blessing, so we'll take it. We have the division lead. And we've heard those quotes from whether it be a current Texan or past Texans. They always sound the same until people who start to think about the macro view of a season as opposed to the micro go, wait a minute, but if you're supposed to be good, what happens when you play a better team? Players don't act that way, and rightfully so. You got to go out there and be physically competitive week after week. So I don't blame any player for going, hey, we went out there and won a football game. We beat this team who was trying to beat us. Coaches the same way. But for the rest of us, we have the privilege of looking at it from a bigger view, considering the expectations. And the expectations right now, the Texans are falling short of them. There are multiple reasons for it. You got injuries on your defense. You got injuries, maybe a second major injury, and maybe the major injury for a wide receiver. When it comes to Stephon Diggs, we'll find out maybe today, maybe, who knows, an hour or 2 hours, however, whenever that comes down, we'll find out more about Stephon Diggs as he left the game with a non-contact injury. We know Nico Collins has one more game. That'll be the Jets game before he can come back. And from all reports, he should be back at his first opportunity. So you've got injuries. You've got lack of performance on the offensive line. And maybe you got a quarterback who is no longer comfortable standing back there. And you would understand it. So is it time to change our evaluation of what this Texans team can be? Until they fix what now is the clear fatal flaw of the team, the offensive line, maybe we stop talking about them as a Super Bowl contender. I don't care what their record is, 6-2. Understood. The division is pretty much out of reach for anyone chasing them. It's only really the Colts, and the Colts, you beat them twice. So it would have to take a major collapse for you not to make the playoffs this year. But that was not the end product we were looking for. Oh, they make another playoff. But you heard Sean talk about them beating the Colts by three and that being Texans football. What else is Texans football? Texans football is winning a wild card game and then losing in the divisional round on the road. Right now, they're situated where they would be the two seed, so they would have two playoff games. And we had at home, if they won the first. And we had our social team come up to everyone before the season started and go, hey, prediction for the Texans. Some people said AFC title game. Others said get to the divisional round. I hedged and said if they get two home playoff games, they got a real shot to get to the AFC title game. If they had to go on the road, I didn't like their chances. Right now, they are set up to have an AFC title game appearance if they won their two home games. I don't feel good about that second game, even if it is at home, the way this offensive line is played, because everyone's going to attack them the same way. Until that gets fixed, we know what's going to hamper any offensive output that they have. They can't protect. They can run the football. Joe Mixon was great again yesterday. A big-time touchdown run. Now, he hasn't played enough games to maybe qualify for this. Maybe you could still hand that to C.J. Stroud. But he has been the Texans' best offensive player when he's been on the field. He has been, in my mind, the clear best offensive player when he's on the field. Nico Collins can get some of that too, but he's missing time. So he falls into the same boat as Mixon, where it would probably go default to C.J. Stroud because he's been around for all seven games.
It's like the actual...
Or six games now.
It's like the actual MVP, where the quarterback is the most valuable player, but offensive player of the year might be Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon, yes.
Or Nico Collins. Like, basically, whichever one of them is healthy in the particular game, that's the offensive player of the year.
Yes. And Joe Mixon, you could credit him for playing behind a bad offensive line who you can't question that they're much better run blocking than they are pass blocking. It's just been a marked difference between what can be accomplished when they turn around and hand the ball off as opposed to when C.J. Stroud has to drop back the pass. It's maybe even hold your breath moments every time he's back there at this point. Kenyon Green gets benched. Juice Patterson gets hurt. Juice Patterson. Jarrett Patterson. Same. They're all the same at this point. Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson. Jarrett Patterson gets hurt. He is concussed, so Kenyon Green has to go back in the game. And for the immediate aftermath of his return, he was a disaster. We haven't seen C.J. Stroud try to coach up his offensive line this much the last couple weeks in all his time here. Like, the last couple weeks, it's been a lot of clapping. It's been a lot of come on, all that type of thing. We didn't see that a lot last year. They weren't great last year, but they were better. So I'll ask this of anyone who wants to call in, 713-780-3776. I'll ask it of Sean. Is it time we stop talking about the Texans as a contender and we start talking about them as they are? We're eight games in. Is this going to get fixed? I'm looking at you, Strouser, or Strasser, however you say that. If it's not going to get fixed, I think we wipe the contender stuff off the board because we see them in these dogfights week after week. Now, the Packers, whatever you think of the Packers, close game. Of course, the Packers almost lost to the Jags yesterday. Close game there, too. So maybe the Packers are worse than we thought. Whatever. But against the average teams in the NFL, the teams that we would not put in contender class, the Texans are scrapping and clawing to win games. Their one saving grace is they played Buffalo on a day where Josh Allen was awful. We see what Buffalo is capable of. They went into Seattle and beat the brakes off them. So we know that's a good football team. Amari Cooper, one catch aside. But I don't know if I can continue to talk about them in that contender tier if I have to throw all the caveats. Well, if this happens, then they can certainly reach their goals. Let me see it happen first. And if we're talking about Stephon Diggs being out for the year or a long stretch of time, then that even hurts the argument even more. So I'm interested in anyone's thoughts on, are we still talking about a 6-2 football team this in a way that makes you believe, or are we watching a 6-2 football team, and do they make you believe that they have a real shot to win on a big stage when it matters? I'm at this point saying no. I was going to say I'm not sure, but nah. I've watched enough. Right now, no. I'm just waiting for something to flip, if it can, to flip me back to, yes, this Texans team can get to a Super Bowl or get to an AFC title game.
The Texans, like, saving grace in this discussion is that you look at the rest of the AFC, and it's the Bills or the top of the AFC. It's like the Bills, who they already beat. Obviously, the Chiefs. Like, no one, I don't think anyone picked the Texans to beat the Chiefs before the season.
No.
Probably not doing it now. The Bills, they have the same record. Texans have the head to head. Probably if you play again, you wouldn't pick the Texans, but you also wouldn't have picked them when they actually played. Then you have the Steelers at 5-2. That's always surprising.
Yeah.
You wouldn't call them a contender.
Not at all.
Then you have the Broncos at 5-3.
Nope.
And then you have the Ravens at 5-3. Probably still yes, just because of how they played last year against the Texans. But this is now a team that's lost to both the Raiders and the Browns.
They still have that whole thing about we'll blow a lead. Now, the Browns game wasn't the double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, which is their normal MO.
It's just a game they had no business losing,
and they lost. And Kyle Hamilton had a ball right in his hands that would have ended the game. He bobbled and dropped it, and then was it on the next play? James threw that touchdown pass.
I forgot it was the next.
It was on the certainly on the same drive, maybe within a play of him dropping that ball. James throws a touchdown pass to a wide open. I don't remember who the guy was. It felt like the Ravens knew they were in big troubles. They had to try to keep him out of field goal range, so they blitzed. They got beat. One-on-one coverage down the field. Jameis made the play. So, yeah, the Ravens, they've dominated the Texans the last few times they faced them. They have a good defense, I guess, unless Jameis is playing quarterback on the other side. But those are the teams. The Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and where the Texans fall in that hierarchy. I think they're fourth.
Yeah.
Even with beating the Bills, I don't think you're getting 9 out of 30 from Josh Allen again.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, if there is a group of four, like, the Texans are in it because the rest of the AFC you feel worse about than the Texans.
Yeah.
Like I mean, after the Ravens, you get to 4-3 Chargers and then the 4-4 Colts who we just saw.
Oh, I'm not questioning like, that they're clearly at the top half, but I don't think that was the goal. The goal was not to be a top half of the AFC team.
No, no one's saying that.
Top half of the playoff picture.
Yeah,
at least AFC
no,
team.
It's just that, there's four teams that are contenders, and the Texans are one of them.
I would say they're not a contender. They happen
then
to
there's
be.
There's three teams that are contenders.
I think there are three teams that are contenders, and the Texans have big issues they have to fix before they are a real one.
I don't know. I feel like we just do this every week.
I don't.
They win, and we feel bad about it.
No, I feel no. I but I hadn't come. But I haven't come to the determination that they're out of it. But this is now week after week this offensive line has not shown any improvement. So if we can count on that happening, they're not winning a big game when it matters. CJ Stroud is doing things. The touchdown pass even to Tank, I think. I don't know how he saw Tank. I know this isn't what he's doing, but it looked like he threw it to a spot and expected Tank to be there because of the pressure coming in on him. He had to almost hold off a guy with one arm. The pocket was collapsing on him. Makes a great throw. Tank gets a little slight shove, whatever. That's allowed. And makes a play. Yes, we question their wins every week, but I hadn't got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm removing them from the contender tier.
So are they like the Minnesota Vikings from like 2 years ago where every game comes down to the wire and the Vikings? I mean, the Vikings were like 8-0 or something ridiculous.
I think the difference is no one ever believed in Kirk Cousins, who had a nice win in Tampa yesterday. I think people fully believe in the quarterback. I think what was holding the Vikings back, if you want to say that, beyond playing in these close games was, and you know that had to like regress to the mean, was that no one thought Kirk Cousins could get it done. Kirk Cousins, people thought, was their fatal flaw. The Texans don't have that problem at quarterback. It's the guys in front of them that are causing the issues. And, of course, now injuries are piling up at wide receiver. Hope to get Nico Collins back. Of course, Stephon Diggs, we're awaiting that. We'll get into more of that game because we can talk about the Colts and what we saw. And I don't know if the Texans won or the Colts are like, hey, you want this? We'll give it to you. And the Texans tried to hand it right back with that late fumble. But we'll talk more about that game. We'll hear from Joe Mixon, who is been a pleasant surprise for me. I know there's a lot of hype on Twitter about Joe Mixon coming in. The name itself was one that people were excited about. I was not one of those, and I was clearly wrong. He has been a find for the Texans, considering what he was in Cincinnati in the latter stages of his time there. We'll hear from Will Anderson a little bit as well. He talked about getting pressure on Anthony Richardson and Kenyon Green, who was who was a topic of conversation for all the wrong reasons for him. He talked about his benching and coming back in the game. So some Texans sound to get to. We have giveaway two. The Cougs beat Isaac Wilson and then the other quarterback for Utah, because even Isaac Wilson couldn't hold up against the Cougs. So they had to go to another guy. So the Cougs win. They play Kansas. Suddenly a Kansas team who is more competitive than we thought. They nearly beat K-State on the road until their quarterback fumbled late. It was a big weekend in college football of quarterbacks doing things to screw up late, and it did cost Kansas. It could have cost SMU, and Nussmeier's screw ups were late and often, starting from the back half of the third quarter on. So a lot of college football to talk about as well. We'll have that giveaway a little bit later. And if you want to get in, once again, 713-780-3776. We're just getting started here. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, Texans win. We can be positive about that. 6-2, lead the division very comfortably. Should win this division going away. They have the Jets on Thursday. A Jets team who lost to the Patriots. Jets team who is pretty much done. You had Aaron Rodgers talking about darkness. At 2-6.
Charlie Murphy?
No, I don't think
that's
that was
a joke from the Chappelle Show.
Yes, for people who don't know, I don't think that was the reference. But it's a bad time, and they're not any better, and probably you could say worse than they were when Zach Wilson was their quarterback. Which is saying something.
I mean, they're 2-6.
It's like it's who they are.
It's about like blind resume. I would assume that their quarterback situation did not change.
Yeah.
Weren't they like 4-3 last year at some point?
Yes,
with Zach Wilson.
I think they had a better record under Zach Wilson at one point than they. So they're probably not going to win as many games as they did with the Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, Chris Streveler experience, however many guys got in last year. And the Texans get to see them. You don't want a get right. You don't want to be their get right game, and you shouldn't be. It's a short week. You got to go on the road on a Thursday night, find a way to scrape by. I don't care how you do it, but that's in a couple days from now.
I do. Maybe it's just the fact that they lost. I mean, they lost last year. To the Jets.
Same place. And yeah. Like to Zach Wilson, right? He was a quarterback. Was Wilson. Yeah.
They weren't particularly close in that game.
No.
Like it was like an NFL blowout.
They handled that Texans offensive line. Imagine that. And CJ had got hit a couple times and suffered a concussion. He missed the next two games. So
I think the Jets win. Just like right now. Maybe
how it's set up. It is set up for a Jets
cover.
At least, and certainly it's set up for a Jets, hey, this is our last stand. We got to find a way to win this game.
That's what it is. I mean, some of it's also just watching the Browns beat the Ravens, where I'm like, oh, yeah, NFL teams before this, like, NFL teams whose season is a massive disappointment, before the lights, they fully turn off on their season, there's normally one last, like, oh, no. But it's like a horror movie where you think you killed a monster.
Yes.
Like, oh, I thought the Browns season was dead. And then, nope, they
beat the Ravens.
They killed the Baltimore Ravens.
And the Texans
are they're the ones saying, like, woo, we made it. High-fiving each other. Yep. Like, they're the most, I am giving dialogue that means I will be killed.
Yes, you are giving a hint to anyone who's ever watched a movie like this before that you're about to die.
Where are we going after this?
Start talking about
can't wait to see my girlfriend.
Start talking about your future and how bright it is, and yeah, you're about to die. So the Texans 6-2, and they're going to a spot where we talked about this when they went up to Green Bay, because their last time traveling to an NFC North team, I said they got embarrassed. I said, hey, just don't get embarrassed. This one, I obviously don't get embarrassed, but just find a way to win. I'm not looking for style points. Like the Colts at home, you're hoping to play better. You're hoping to show that you are a contender, whatever. My thoughts aside about where they stand in the tiers, just go in there and win the game. I don't care what it looks like. Don't come back 6-3.
Yeah, just win, baby. Because if you think people are upset, I mean, they know this, but I mean, really, their only losses are blowout losses to teams that are good, or at least were playing well at the time. Vikings kind of tailed off a little bit.
Packers wasn't even a blowout.
Oh, yeah. I guess it wasn't.
They were in
that
game.
It felt like a blowout.
They were thoroughly,
we talked about it like
they were. Well, they were thoroughly outplayed.
Yeah.
But they were in it because of Packers turnovers. But sure. Yeah. But that one was a close one. They had a chance to win it late.
But you want to see people really upset?
Don't losing to this Jets team?
Well, give the Jets their third. They're right now, first take. Believe it or not, first take is talking about the Jets right now.
It's odd.
Do you think the Cowboys are upset? They're like, hey, what happened to us? Kind of talk about us more. They're talking about the Jets, and the graphic beneath a very stern-looking Damian Woody is the Aaron Rodgers era with the Jets over?
No, he'll keep playing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not over.
He's got one more game in him, at least.
They're not going to bench him, but as far as...
Who's their backup?
No idea. Is it a... No, it's Tyrod Taylor. Or Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know.
I mean, what does Jeff Ulbrich have? What does he owe to Aaron Rodgers? He's only the interim anyway.
Well, Aaron Rodgers would say, you're only the interim because of
me.
Because of AR-12.
Because when I was asked about Robert Saleh, I said, take him or leave him. Like, you're not going to blame me for him getting fired, but yeah, I didn't say he should keep his job.
I didn't say he should get fired.
But I didn't say
he
should.
I did not give a defense for him to keep his job whatsoever.
Like, go. He probably told Woody Johnson, go with your gut.
Yeah, whatever feels right.
Yeah, whatever feels right to you. Whatever you think would help the team the most, Woody, go ahead and do that. And obviously it has not helped the team at all. They've been just as bad before Robert Saleh got fired as they have been after. So that's the situation. You go in there, you find a way to win, and you're probably going to have to do it without Stephon Diggs. No matter the length of his injury, he ain't playing on Thursday. I'm making that assumption now.
It depends how much he cares about the team.
Or depends on the structure of his knee. The structural integrity of his knee.
Shoot it up. Get out there.
Wow. Tough guy, huh?
Limping Stephon Diggs or Steven Nelson? Or not Steven
Hutchinson?
Nelson. Steven, no, Steven Sims.
Nah, you can't use him. He's not healthy. Hutchinson made a play.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I'd take Hutchinson. I think I'd even take Mechie.
Mechie made a play.
Mechie had a catch for positive yards. He also had one for negative yards.
We have to make note. We finally got an explosive play from a wide receiver more than 30 yards, not named Nico Collins. Stephon Diggs had that 49-yarder. And then, what is that, his knee popping?
No, that's popping champagne.
Oh. I mean, it was a kind of a broken play. The Colts dropped coverage. It wasn't just his bomb down the field, but he was alone on the sideline, run after the catch, 49 yards. So we did get our explosive play from someone else. John Mechie had a 28-yard catch. As we mentioned, he made a play.
It would be very funny if that was like the other one didn't happen. Their longest was still 28.
Yeah, it was Mechie.
And just fell short of this arbitrary number we threw out.
Yeah, Mechie had two other catches for 1 yard total. So, yeah. Okay. But hey, he may be counted on more along with Hutchinson if that's Diggs' injury looked as bad as or is as bad as it looked.
Trade for Cooper Kupp?
I've seen a lot of people, not necessarily Kupp, but tell the Texans to go trade for someone. Get a guard in here or something people are asking for. It wasn't a great afternoon into the night for the Diggs family.
No, they probably had better.
Yeah. You know, when they're both...
Although the Trevon Diggs one, like, it's a bad look, but... Yeah,
I mean,
at least he can walk.
Well, they also that's true. They also they also lost another game to the 49ers, and yes, he went out there and challenged a reporter over a tweet. We'll play that later as part of our ship talk segment in the first show. But I do want to get to this before we go. We mentioned the Texans offensive line quite a bit. Who was at the forefront of the criticism? The man who got benched, Kenyon Green. He was benched. Patterson got hurt. Kenyon Green came back in the game, and he finished the game. He did not play well at all. The Texans let him know. I think the CBS sideline reporter, A.J. Ross, said she saw Gerard Johnson, the Texans quarterback coach, getting after Kenyon Green. So we know that they see it as a problem, and they benched him for it until they were forced to put him back in the game. Here's Kenyon Green on his performance and his benching.
I wasn't playing well, so, you know, they had to make, you know, changes, and they made those changes, and I got my opportunity to go back out there, and I went out there and then, you know, fought You know, did what I needed to do to get the win for my team.
So what goes through your mind through that, trying to fix it in game? What's that process like?
Just talking to myself, trying to make sure, you know, I'm still there, just still focus on what's that task, you know, that drive, you know, trying to score, trying to, you know, win the game.
How do you feel like you guys played as a unit today?
It was okay. We feel like we can, you know, definitely be better, especially on my end. So,
Bonnie had a conversation with you after the extra point before you went back in there. What was the kind of message from that conversation?
Just telling me, you know, just keep being me, you know, just keep being better, and, you know, just keep fighting. So.
And depending on the length of the recovery for Jarrett Patterson from his concussion, Kenyon Green's going to be in there for the foreseeable future. He certainly will play in all likelihood Thursday as a starter. We'll see where Kendrick Green lands. He is another option, but Kenyon Green struggled. The stunts, the game, still an issue for him, and it got really bad. Now, we heard about Texans and their changes. At least we heard from D'Amico Ryans that anything was on the table as far as changes. Well, the one change they did make was the Kenyon Green after putting him in the starting lineup, which begs the question, what could he have done between Sunday and Sunday to give you comfort that he should still be out there when we all saw him as a weak link? He did just come off having the worst grade of all the linemen. I'm like, you know, we're going to throw him back out there again.
And don't worry about that worst grade. He defended his title.
Oh, I'm glad he's a repeat champ.
Yeah.
That's good to
back
see.
To back. They should give out like a big wrestling belt like they do, like the Astros did for like whatever pitcher of the game.
I don't think that would go over well for the linemen being acknowledged for how bad they've been.
PFF, worst of the game.
It doesn't feel like it's not that scepter that you get for angry runs. It'll feel a little different.
Just falling out of his locker.
Yeah. And Andrew Whitworth decided to get in and have a bit where he goes, worst offensive lineman of the week goes to Kenyon Green for a second week in a row. We're all looking for positivity. At least those guys are. The bit goes better if you're being positive. But yeah, second straight week of him being terrible, and it almost haunted the Texans. Well, to be fair, it haunted C.J. Stroud all game long, but at least they found a way to win.
I will say C.J. Stroud much better, and he wasn't like bad under – actually, he was pretty bad under pressure against the Packers. He was making some throws where you're like, this is not sustainable.
No.
How much he's under pressure.
Yes.
But I liked what I saw from Stroud under pressure.
Yeah, we'll have –
he was at least moving the ball.
We'll have some pressure numbers. They're not great as far as pressure's given up. And what CJ faced. Jerry, I see you. You want to talk about the game? We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to talk about the Texans game or something else? Because we will get to other things. The Rockets had an interesting weekend. By interesting, I mean had a nice comeback in both games. Found a way to win one and to lose one. And there's a report that they could be in on a superstar if a superstar gets put on the market. So we'll talk about that. We'll get to college football as well. Sean's Longhorns went into Vanderbilt and escaped. Didn't let Diego Pavia get you. Just take that, Alabama. And obviously, enough college football to go around beyond the Longhorns to get to as well. So, Jerry, anyone else, we'll take your calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Jerry called in. Jerry's been holding for a little bit. He wants to talk about the Texans game. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning, guys. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
All right, cool. Hey, I just want to give a props. So for the first time, I feel like he's been here for 10 years. Eric Murray, the guy played a very good game. Like, I did not expect him to play especially that well in the first half. So I got to give props to him. I know it's a short week, but you would think Caserio is just working the phones nonstop, right? One, I hate that Cleveland one because I like football, so I'm out here watching O-line work from the brand. You got to snag at least, Wyatt Teller or Bisonio. I mean, just throw a second-round pick at them or something. You got to get a guy because Kenyon Green, he got benched. He got benched. It's time to move on from him. And when it comes to receivers, I mean, you would think he would kick the tires on, like, Hunter Renfro or Michael Thomas because I don't think Diggs is playing not even the following week when we play the Lions. So I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Jerry. Yeah, Eric Murray, particularly early in that game, made a number of plays on the ball, three pass defense. Him and Kamari Lassiter led the team with three. Texans got their hands on a lot of footballs early, coupled with Anthony Richardson and his general inaccuracy. It led to a 10-for-32 day with five sacks and one tap of the helmet, which got people very, very upset. And we'll get to everything else you said, Jerry, about the potential trades and stuff like that, but I've never seen a quarterback tap their head and say, I need out. But some of the conversations about, like, because it was Damian Woody, Rex Ryan, and then Dan Orlovsky were talking about it, the clips on the internet. And Woody's like, I'm busting my ass for you, and you're going to tap your helmet? There's some context, because that was two consecutive plays of him running for his life. Now, maybe you don't tap your helmet, because maybe you don't want to make that the thing that you're known for, since we've never seen a quarterback ask out like that. We see a receiver do it. We see a linebacker look over and go, I'm gassed.
Running
corner.
Backs.
All guys who run a lot, we'll see that. And Dan Orlovsky said quarterbacks, they play the position with the least amount of exertion. Well, certainly the way Dan Orlovsky played.
Yeah,
certainly, yes. But for the most part, quarterbacks don't exert a lot. Even the likes of Anthony Richardson, who's running around, the Michael Vicks of the world, the Josh Allens of the world, those guys ran around all the time, and not one of them tapped their helmet, at least that I remember, asking out of a game. But how many of them are shrugging off 320-pound defensive tackles like Richardson did on the play to Foley Fatakasa? He was like, get off me. And then he scrambled some more, and he was dead tired. Because the play before, I think he scrambled, either it led to a holding call or a sack. There was a penalty because they were in a long-distance situation. I'll look up the play. So it was two consecutive plays where he was running for his life. But, yes, you don't tap your helmet. Fake a hamstring or something if you're tired. Pull an Ole Miss thing, but you're actually hurt, kind of, and say, hey, I can't go on and get off the field.
Look over to Jonathan Taylor.
And just go down.
Go down.
Yeah, somebody has to go down. So you get a timeout.
Mm. Dart would have done that.
Well, definitely.
It's like Jackson Dart. I'm starting Jackson Dart over Anthony Richardson. No. I mean, it's pretty unanimous with all the former players.
No,
like on Twitter, they're like, I've literally never seen this before.
No one has. no one has seen that on the NFL level. I'm sure it's popped up on the college level or high school level at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But on the NFL level, no one can recall that happening. And I saw him tap his helmet. It's like, huh. I almost didn't react. It's like, okay, he's running around. He's exhausted. But then I realized, oh, yeah, he's a quarterback. He can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Quarterbacks aren't allowed.
It didn't even, like, cross my mind that he was asking out. I was just like, he's tapping his helmet. I was thinking it was something with the hit, like the play call or something, or it was like a, like, hey. And I honestly think Anthony Richardson would have been okay if he would just have been like, hey, no design. And I don't think they're in a down and distance where a design run would be coming up. But you never know with Shane Steichen.
It was third and 23. Well, you mean the play where he got –
down play.
Yeah, it was third and 23, third and goal from the 23-yard line. He could have run a quarterback or halfback draw. That would have been understandable. It's what they did.
I'm in a quarterback run play where it's like, hey, I cannot run. Like, whatever we're doing, give me a play off.
Yeah, then you can't have him drop back the pass because they weren't able to protect him. So he was probably going to have to run if the goal was to throw it into the end zone. Now, if it's just a check down, then maybe he wouldn't have had to.
Screen or something.
Yeah, like, so they ran the ball. So the problem for him is he could have just stood there and handed the ball off and it wouldn't have mattered. But instead, he taps his helmet, comes out of the game, and now
they're talking about him on
NFL. Well, to be honest, it's better than talking about his actual game.
I was going to say, this is the, I mean, nationally, this seems like the only thing people are talking about.
Not the 10-for-32, whatever it was.
There's a little bit of that. There's definitely no, like, Texans. Huh? Another close game?
Well, I did see, like, Dan Orlovsky, because they have they make their statements about the weekend, and he said, I love the Texans, but their O-line stinks. So
that's fair.
So they are mentioning that the fact that this O-line is a big detriment to what they can possibly
me
be.
Me too, Dan. Me too.
Yes. Anyone who has any interest in watching this team play knows this team is being held back by that offensive line. And is there a foreseeable fix? Well, we heard from Jerry, and we'll certainly go to break here. We're way late. He talked about trades. I don't know if the Browns are interested in just trading good offensive linemen just because they're out of the mix. That particularly starters. Like, if they have a backup that they can send somewhere that's a pretty good player, sure. But I don't remember just a lot of teams, bad or not, just shipping off good offensive linemen just because their team is awful. I think that's more of a pipe dream than anything else. Like, what are the Browns going to do? You're going to trade guys you have on a contract while you have to deal with Deshaun Watson's contract for what? So you can play younger players, I guess, draft guys to replace guys who are already really good. I would say look to the depth charts of teams. Maybe there's a guy available who's played a long time in the NFL. He's just in a numbers crunch because either they drafted a younger player or they brought a guy in the offseason who is better.
Tytus Howard.
Well, I don't think they're trading. They can't trade away their guy.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, they did draft someone.
Yes, that's true. It's true, but I don't think Jerry's looking to lessen the offensive line even more.
Yeah.
So I get the Batonio Teller thing. I just don't think you're getting starters from another team, no matter how bad the Browns are.
In-season NFL trades are already pretty rare if it's not basically for, like, an edge rusher or a receiver.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, offensive line trades in season, like,
I don't remember the last one of any consequence.
I don't know if those ever happen. Even like in the offseason, now that I think about
you guys
it.
It's
not super common.
You guys are watching this league. How many great offensive lines are there?
Like, that too. Like, who's a bad team dealing from a position of strength with offensive line?
Where they have two guys who could be starting for 15 teams, they just can't get on the field. That doesn't happen.
The Panthers. Panthers signed Robert Hunt, and I think they had another.
Yeah, they signed those guys.
They signed like two high-priced guys.
Yeah, but that offensive line isn't good. So why
Robert Hunt's like, no, I don't know.
You want to pay $100+ million? You want to pay the rest of $100+ million contract for a guard? Anyone want to do that?
Let me rewatch the Kenyon Green tape so I can say yes.
Yes. Watching ISO reps with Kenyon Green makes you want to pay.
Maybe.
Makes you want to make that trade and then pay the cost for it as well.
Right now, no. But let me get back to you.
Ask CJ what he'd like, I guess. Robert Hunt.
Let's not open that can of worms. I'm asking. Let's see. I know, like, what, in 5 years, that's where we're going to be? Is the CJ Stroud want this guy?
Well, they already did. It would take Dell.
That is true. I hope that's not true. But I kind of think it is.
Cade Stover. Another one of his guys.
Well, you know what? If this means they're going to draft a whole bunch of Ohio State offensive skill players, I'm actually okay with that. Yeah. No offensive lineman, please. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
or quarterback.
Yeah, this Ohio State offensive line, not good at all. They nearly cost themselves a game against Nebraska. What's Ibuka doing? You want to come to Houston? They're probably going to need a wide receiver, particularly if Stephon Diggs is out for the rest of the year. He's probably not getting a deal from the Texans.
You could have been in the draft last year, Ibuka. Come on up.
Yeah.
You're ready.
We'll see.
Calling you up from the minors.
We'll see. All right. We'll wrap this segment up here. We'll come back. We will get into more Texans sound. We'll hear from Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon talked about what this Texans team can be. He disagrees with me, and that's understandable. He has a different view of what his team is capable of. And we'll certainly get into what happened in college football as we kind of dipped our toe in that. And a clip, like a string of clips from a game that really has no importance to anyone, but the background made it catch my eye. We'll get to that in the second hour. We will be back.